said. Let me see. Did that button work now? All right. I must have not even turned it on this morning. He said he kept trying to get my attention. And I didn't even have it on, but he had me fixed up right here. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Micah. In the book of Micah tonight, as we look there in chapter number 3, we're going to read a passage there and a couple of them. And notice, if you will, please, we'll start with verse number 4. If you're able to stand, you may stand there. In Micah chapter number 3, verse 4. And then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. Now what a sad, sorry state that is to get into where God won't even hear you when you pray and cry. He said he will even hide his face from them at that time as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings. You know what being ill is? It's people that are sick. It's people that are beyond their control. These are people in their lifestyle that have made themselves ill. I'm not talking about with a disease, but just with the ugliness and the contamination of their own sins. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people to err, that bite with their teeth, and they cry peace, and he hath putteth not into their mouths even to prepare war against him. And then notice, if you will, please, in verse 7. And then shall the seers be ashamed and the diviners confounded, and yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. Verse 11. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. And yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. Therefore, verse 12, shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field. Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the houses as high as the places of the forest. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for the goodness of God that brought us to a place of repentance. We thank you for the good singing that we've enjoyed tonight. We pray that now you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free as our desire and heart's desire and prayer for them unto God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while that if you refuse the preaching, you're going to face the plow. That's an old sermon I preached about 10, 11 years ago. And we've been talking about, you know, rejecting and refusing the blessed word of the Lord. God comes knocking on your heart's door. You know he's dealing with you. You're not doing anything about it. These are the kind of mistakes and the kind of people of Israel that rejected the word of the Lord. And they embraced anything that was positive and made them feel good about themselves like they were without the need to repent. I want to say to you that, if you will, that we live in the day to where the psychology is taking the place of preaching. Psychology makes you feel good about yourself like you are without the need to repent. Preaching, but it lays a demand of thus saith the Lord at the heart's door. In the lesson you'll find the reason why that it's become that is folks like motivational things. Things that motivate them somehow or another to feel good about what they're doing. And whatever it is they want to hang their little label on, they feel good about it. I got to tell you right now, I would to God that you and I could get zeroed in with him, because not everything we feel good about does God feel good about. This crowd here had been listening to these preachers that were lying to them. They were cheaters. They were connivers. They were trying to divine for money. They were anything but called of God. And as a result of that, you'll find is that Israel seemed like to listen to them until they finally got to the place that they really needed God and cried out, and God wouldn't hear them. God wouldn't listen. I think we're on the verge of that here in America. Now, when the reason why I was looking at that, because that, you know, every now and again that I watch a little bit of the news. I don't know why some of these kids, what are you watching the news for? Because it's such bad news, I can't believe it. But anyhow, nonetheless, and I get tired of watching Gunsmoke. But what I do know is that whenever I'm looking at it, I'm watching all that terrain turn to rubble, houses blown up, heaps of dirt and mounds, and I'm talking about just ransacking the cities over there in Israel, and not only that, in the places where they're bombing them and where they're at war one with another. Well, that's what God said right here. Israel, you've listened and listened, and yet you didn't take it to heart. And what I'm going to do is now you're going to face the plow. Preaching didn't do nothing for you. The plow's fixing to turn you inside out and upside down. How about that spooky, isn't it? I don't want to get so far away from God that he has to do something that drastic to be able to get my attention. You know, every now and again, we have something that's down through the years. And let me tell you right now, we've been fortunate. We've been in the wife and I, in churches that we've been. We've been fortunate to not have to go through a lot of trials, heartache, heartbreak, and troubles, and this and that. But let me tell you something, in the last 30 years, dear friend, we've been able to have just enough to fill up our plate and to run us over. I can promise you right now, I'm not looking for the next chapter of things of heartbreak and sadness that may come our way. I got to say to you that, if you will, that as a child of God, we know different. We know better. As a child of God, you and I can realize and know that the wicked one of these days are going to perish. They're going to perish at the presence of God. And whenever that happens, you're going to find out that people like old Micah here that were preaching to this crowd and said, you're going to, what you're going to do in Zion, you'll be plowed as a field, and you'll and Jerusalem shall become heaves. I got to say to you that when we begin to look at that, we recognize and realize and know that what this crowd needed is the same thing we've always needed, and that's the preaching of the word of the Lord. You know, the Bible said, and I was trying to quote part of it at least this morning there, over there in the book of Romans, is that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With his mouth confession is made unto salvation. And let me say to you that when you and I look in this book, that you'll find that he was telling them that you're going to be facing the fury of God and the fire of God. Don't lose your text there, but look in Jeremiah, and I want you to see that, if you will, in the book of Jeremiah, that he quotes this, and Jeremiah chapter number 26, at about verse number 18, that when you look into the passage, and I'll give you a second to find it. He said in Jeremiah 26, verse 18, and Micah the Moreshite prophesied in the days of Hezekiah. See, he was a contemporary with Hezekiah, the king of Judah, and he spake unto all the people of Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field. We just read that, didn't we? And Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house of the high places of a forest. I got to say to you, is that did Hezekiah, the king of Judah, and all of Judah put him to all to death? Did he not fear the Lord and besought the Lord, and the Lord repented him of the evil which he had pronounced against them? And thus might we procure great evil works against our souls. I want to say to you, make no mistake about it, God's not in the bargaining business. Here's what it is. It's the way God said it. It's a matter that whether you believe it or I believe it or anybody else who believes it, when God says something, it's a settled matter. And you cannot add to it or take away from it, or nor neither can you be able to bargain with God out of it. You know, in the day we live in, we've got folks that somehow or another, is that we live in a world of people that are lying, cheating, conniving. Back in the day, there was an old witch of a woman, a charismatic woman, by the name of Catherine Kuhlman. And she lived up there in Oklahoma with Oral Roberts and another TDs, whatever his name, and somebody named Osborne. And they were big faith healers in that day, but in raking that money in right and left. And old Catherine Kuhlman got sick at the point of death. And you know what? Those other faith healers that were getting people's money and bringing it in hand over fist, you know what they did? They called an ambulance. They carried her up to the hospital there in Oklahoma before she died. You know, the reason being, they'd been lying and cheating and conniving all these years to people up and down the road of life. No telling how many since then. I got to tell you right now, you take people like old Kenneth Copeland, he even looks like some kind of a witch warlock person whenever he's talking and all that business there. If he don't wind up in hell, there's not one. I see, that's... I'm glad I know better and that I can tell you better. Whether you like it, love it, love it, or leave it, receive it or not, I can just tell you there's a bunch of that going on in the day and hour we're living in. in this lesson that we're noticing, and while you begin to see this, is that the fire of God. The fury, look in chapter 1 of the book of Micah. Look, if you will, please, in about verse number 1. He said, the word of the Lord came to Micah the Moreshite in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, the kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. Now hear all ye people, and hearken, O ye earth, and that therein is, and let the Lord be witness, let the Lord God be witness against you, and the Lord from his holy temple, for behold, the Lord cometh forth out of his place, and will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth. Let me tell you right now, God is moving with his wrath, and no doubt the fire of God and the fury of God is about to be unleashed. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, that's one of the ideas that we're talking about here, even in chapter number 3. But I want you to notice that, if you will, in chapter number 4 of our text, in the book of Micah, in verse number 1, the Bible said, but in the last days shall come to pass that the mountains of the house of the Lord shall be established at the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow into it. Now look in verse 2. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go into the mountain of the Lord and the houses of God of Jacob, and teach us his ways, that we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. I got to tell you something. They're going to learn war no more, rebuke all those nations that are fighting and fussing against them. And let me tell you, you're going to find that the sword will be beaten into plowshares and pruning hooks, and there'll be implements of production instead of destruction like they are right now. Now, in this lesson that we're looking at, in chapter number 4 and verse number 4, you'll find that people that once said they're afraid now can sit under the vine and under a fig tree, and they can be unafraid. And let me tell you, there's nothing like that. By the way, let me say to you that if you've got a front porch and have time to sit on it every now and again, drink you a glass of tea, a bottle of pop, I don't know, whatever it is that you like, coffee or whatever it is you enjoy, you better every now and again sit down and just enjoy it, because there's a lot of devils and a bunch of infidels in the day and hour that we're living in. Who would have ever believed that all these Ishmaelites would be demonstrating up and down these college campuses and jeopardizing people's lives? And not only that, but taking over buildings. And not only that, but running up their flag, their Mohammed flag, you know, their, let me tell you, they're Muslim. And let me tell you right now, that's a shame that the leaders of our country did not pull all that down and arrest them and fine them heavily for trying to be able to fly their banner on a ground of the United States of America. They burn our flag and hang theirs up, and all that bunch. And I'm not just talking about that feeble imbecile of an idiot that we've got called the president. I'm talking about all of his cabinet members. I'm talking about all of the Congress. I'm talking about all the representatives and senators. What in the name of God is the matter with the people of this country that are running this country? You know, I've said all the time, something's wrong with a country that's got 9 old people that look like they ought to be in a nursing home somewhere deciding the last call in the country. Something's wrong with that. It never has worked real good. It's always been in defiance against the Lord, and no doubt about it is that we're taxed to death, taxation without representation. And I'm hoping and trusting and praying that you and I can one of these days still be able to sit down on the front porch and, if nothing else, be able to enjoy a few minutes and not be afraid of what's coming around the corner. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, is that you'll find that over there in the book of Luke in chapter number 16, there's a passage there that I'd like to read to you real quickly. It's in chapter 16 of the book of Luke, and it's about verse number 31. Now in the passage there, he said unto them that if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Do you realize, though, that if you don't hear what they said in the Old Testament, if you didn't hear it, you didn't believe it, you're not going to believe what they're saying in the New Testament. Very simple. Somebody said, boy, if I'd have been living back then and all that, if you're not believing what he said right now, you'll not believe what they said way back then. I got to tell you something, is that when the Lord Jesus Christ shall set up his kingdom and will reign and rule with a rod of iron, I believe that. I know that it's coming. I know that it's going to get worse before that does happen. But I'm looking up and listening for the trump of God to be able to sound, and the dead in Christ to be able to raise first. We which are alive and remain called up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, in closing tonight, I want to tell you that in the book of Micah that he talked about nations and people and all of that that hated the people of God, that hated the Israelites. And let me tell you something right now. We live in a world that hates the Israelite. And in this Bible lesson, the requirement of God was simply that you and I might do justly, that we might exercise mercy, that we might walk humbly with him, that we might know him. In chapter number 7 of the book of Micah, you'll find out that when he closed it out, here's some sign of the last day. You'll find out is that number 1, woe is me because there's little or no fruit that's being produced. Well, that's where we're at right now. Not only that, but you'll find that in chapter number 7 and verse 2, the good man perisheth out of the earth. Boy, it's hard to find somebody who loves God in the Bible. In chapter number 7 and verse number 3, the Bible said there are those that they may do evil with both hands. Hey, these are not just single-handed evildoers. Son, they're doing all they can with both hands. And the Bible said that in chapter number 7 and verse 5 and 6 is that notice, trust ye not in a friend, and putting ye not no confidence in a guide, keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father, and the daughter riseth up against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies are the men of his own household, of his own house. Let me tell you right now, that's the way it has been, the way it is right now. It will be tomorrow, and let me tell you good news, verse 7. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord and wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Make no mistake about it. The enemy's always been against God, the Bible, his anointed. Look in verse number 20 and we're closing. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy of Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers, even from the days of old. Now here's the way it is and here's the way it works. They finally got so far down in the gutter, and after facing the plow of destruction, and after facing their enemy, and after facing the hard time, but they got ready to hear the truth. That's the way it's going to be whenever Jesus comes again. They, as a nation, are going to be ready to hear the truth, and a nation will be born in a day. You know, in the day we live in, we try to teach people somehow or another by, I don't know, doing the same thing, whatever they're doing. And it's sort of like teaching a kid not to lie. I told this story years ago, and I can't remember the last time, but I wanted to hear it again. Since it's come to my mind, I'll go ahead and give it to you before we close. There's a little boy, we'll call him Johnny. And anyhow, Johnny was a liar. He's in grade school, and he was the biggest liar. He come in late for class, and the teacher, where you been, Johnny? Oh, I took off 175-pound catfish this morning, teacher. You won't believe it. My word, I had to put it on a big old truck, semi-truck bed there, flatbed, it's so big. Oh, Johnny, there's no way you could be able to get nothing like that in. And so anyhow, the next day, you know, there was something else that he had done that was beyond the comprehension of humanity. And he was lying, of course, again. The teacher decides, I'll tell you what I'm going to do is, I'm going to tell the principal, I'm going to tell the superintendent, and he said, don't worry about it, I'm going to show him what lying is, how bad it sounds, how bad it looks, how ridiculous that it is. And so he tells him, he said, Johnny, I want to tell you a story. I went hunting this weekend, and I shot one of the biggest bucks that you've ever laid your eyes on, and as it lay out there in the field, I got out of my stand, and before I could get to it, there was a grizzly bear that jumped on it and was tearing it apart and eating it up. And as it was about to just rip it all to shreds, there was a little toy poodle dog came out of the woods and ran over and jumped up and grabbed that bear by the throat, choked him to death, and he died right there. And I was able to get what I had of my deer that was left. Now, Johnny, how does that sound to you? Pretty nice story, pretty nice. Yeah, but I mean, oh, do you believe it? Yep, sure do. That's my poodle, and that's the second bear he's killed this week. Not every time does somebody practicing sin help deter you from it. See? I gotta say to you that if you will, please, make no mistake about it. This world we live in a mess. There's lying and cheating and conniving. I'm talking about from the White House to the outhouse. And wouldn't it be nice? You know, it's not what we know that's plaguing us in this country. It's what we don't know. I guarantee you, it's spooky enough just what little bit I know.
Yes,
now, what would I do if something happens that I really saw the way that it really is?
Yes.
See? I want to say in closing that, if you will, make no mistake about it, Israel, God warned them and said, because, over in the book of Micah that we read, because you've rejected the word of the Lord, you're, as a result, you're going to face the plow, and I'm going to turn you upside down, inside out. Let's stand to our feet. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word, and we do thank you for it. How good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We ask your blessings upon every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. We thank you for their faithfulness unto thee.